Welcome again to Death Do Us Part. Tonight we're going to be talking about importance of exploring family dynamics and generational curses in a marriage. I'm not talking about anything spooky or out of a horror movie when we say generational curses. It's simply how the environment has an effect on you throughout your life, how your environment passes from year to year. Environment passes from generation to generation. Just what you see people do in the house, family behavior passes on to the next generation without you even knowing what is happening or what the problem is. When you attempt to solve it, you don't even know where it came from. And in a lot of cases, it came from things that you saw.
Absolutely.
For example, if you're in a house where there's verbal abuse, physical abuse, you at some point, it can go on so long that it becomes the norm. And when negative becomes normal, it can cause a lot of damage in a relationship and in an environment.
Yeah, I agree with you. When we enter a relationship, we bring life's baggages with us, whether it's the family, whether it's another relationship, all kinds of mental issues, our socialization, how we were socialized, how we were raised. We bring all of that into the relationship, and how we bring it into the relationship literally influences the way that we engage with our spouse. You know, one of the most significant areas is family. And I love the way you brought in exploring the family dynamics and generational curses in a marriage.
It is just so important what goes on in front of your children in a household. Like I was saying, if you're yelling at your wife all the time, or you're yelling at your husband all the time in front of your children, it has such a negative effect. And you'll find yourself, like I was saying, you'll find yourself shouting at each other and wondering where it came from.
Right. Right. So what to you, Miles, what would be a generational curse to you?
I would say if I had to define it, I would say the effects of a negative environment going to the next generation.
Okay. Okay. Generational curses can be in the DNA, and sometimes generational curses are because of socialization. For example, in my family, we had a lot of alcoholics. We had a great deal of alcoholics. Almost a lot of people, my mother's siblings, died from sclerosis of the liver and things like that. So it would sometimes, the children from those particular siblings would end up alcoholics, and they would bring the alcohol into the marriage. And that would be generational curses. My mother grew up fearful and with a lot of fear. A lot of my siblings, you know, we don't take chances. My mother attained that from her socialization. And when I say socialization, I mean how she was raised. Her mother was fearful, never took a chance to go to school, get a degree, things like that. So, of course, here's my mother. You know, she waited until she was in her 40s to get her associate's degree, when my mother was brilliant. And she could have went to school, but instead she married, had babies, and she brought the fear into her marriage.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother was raised us, and I never seen her smoke a cigarette or drink or have a drink. My grandfather brought the money home every payday, And that's what I saw. So when I got married, I didn't mind giving my wife all of my money if she needed it, because that's what I saw.
Right.
All through my childhood. But there was some negative things going on in the community. Like if, for example, men were taught back in the 60s that you not cool or you lacking if you don't have four or five women. And that was taught throughout the community. The guys that were looked up to were the guys that had three or four, was going with three or four men at the same time. That was a big achievement, as negative as it was. So, you know, and you had some men that were wise. My father told me once, he was a truck driver, and he said to me, he says, there's some truck drivers out there that's got a lot of women. Every town's got a, they got a woman in every town. He's saying they always broke. They don't never have no fuel. They don't ever have no lunch money. Their truck break down, they can't get it repaired, but they got a lot of women. The guys that's got one woman, he says, they always got plenty of fuel. They always got money for repairs. They always got money for the insurance. So that had an impact. You know, that was a positive that my father would tell me.
Right.
You know. But every environment wasn't like that for men coming up.
Right. And you will have those good things, but a lot of times, and that's where we're going today with this program, because our job is to give people hope. There are such great things in family, but when you enter those things in marriage, sometimes it can be toxic. And the definition of toxicity or toxic person is anyone whose behavior adds negativity and upset to your life. Isn't that a definition? Mm-hmm. A toxic person wants to tell you everything others do wrong, everything, and never, ever, ever deal with the issues that are in their life. So a lot of times we approach marriage, we approach families and marriage, it can become toxic. For example, if you and my mother got along, but if you and my mother if my mother did not understand you, you wouldn't have liked her, she wouldn't have liked you, and that could have very well ended the marriage. But my mother understood you and she appreciated you, correct?
That's correct.
And so it's important that that we notice and we recognize those toxic traits in the family that we could bring into the family. You know, drug addiction, alcoholism, sexual promiscuity, all kinds of things. Literally enter that into our marriage. And we have to make sure that it doesn't. Would you agree?
I would totally agree. I would totally agree. As the old saying says, monkey see, monkey do.
Right, right.
You know.
You saw your mom and dad, your dad beating your mom.
Yeah. I mean, that was normal. These today's generation don't know anything about, you could be beating your wife in the streets in the 60s and the cops would drive right by if they knew that was your wife. And you could be beating her down to the ground and they would say, oh, that's his wife. They're okay. Or it's okay. That's his wife.
Right.
And that's what I saw coming up, you know, and that was not unusual to see a man beating a woman down to the ground in the middle of the street when I was coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and not just physical abuse, but mental abuse too.
Sure.
Telling the woman, you're ugly, you fat, mm-hmm. You can't get anybody. Mm-hmm. I know of a relationship where we lived on 33rd Street, And this man would not let his wife out the door, nor his children. He didn't let, he would go out sharp as a tack, looking good, but he wouldn't let his wife leave the house, nor his children leave the house. When the children did leave the house and got married, what kind of a relationship they entered into, you know? Mm-hmm. What kind of relationship they entered into? Because you literally, whatever baggage you have in your life, you take that baggage and walk into that marriage, and you expect that individual, you expect people to deal with it. You know, you expect that the woman might expect the man to deal with it, and the man might expect the woman to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That toxicity is critical, and it's important to understand it really before you get into a marriage. Before you get into the marriage, you really, really need to understand the issues, mental, emotional issues that your spouse, that your soon-to-be spouse is carrying, mm-hmm. and how you deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish that I knew the depth of your mother issues. I didn't know that. And I didn't know it because you didn't show it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't show it to me. It wasn't visible. We talked about, you know, what your mother did, but who knew that your mother issues were so toxic that it would affect our marriage? Go ahead.
You gave me your undivided attention when we were dating.
Right.
When we got married, you didn't pay me no attention at all. But when we were dating, you know, we talked on the phone for hours.
Right.
And we would be excited to see each other. And we'd go for walks and go to lunch and dinner. And we were excited about each other. But when we got married, you were working on your business. And you started working hard on your business. I didn't see that coming.
Right.
And that's where the baggage came in.
Right.
I had the issues of, you know, if you're not paying me any attention, I went through something.
Right. Sure.
I had a problem with women going out with their girlfriends. Just, I was sick and didn't know it.
Right, right.
And I didn't know.
Do you think that's
how sick I was?
Do you think you got that from your dad? Because your dad carried your mother everywhere he went. So much so that you all ended up with your.
Well, he took her away from me.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't. He took her away because she was not qualified to mother us.
Well, maybe he took her away because he felt like you felt. That he felt like, you know, I want your undivided attention. I'm afraid to leave you with alone because you might meet Johnny or whatever. Do you think, Miles, that might have been the case?
I don't know. When I look back at the story was that they dropped off 8 kids at his mother's, which was my brothers and sisters.
Right.
And they got in a new tractor trailer and they would come back once a year.
Right.
You know. So I thought when I look back at it, that was insanity. That was insane to live a single life with 9 children.
Right.
They lived a single life with 9 kids. Right. That was insane.
Right.
And but it had its effect on on all of us.
Right.
You know, we all love to travel. We all love the road.
Yeah.
We'll leave everything in a drop of a hat. You know, it had some negative effects.
Right. Right. Let me ask you something. That comes in the area of mental and emotional well-being. And if it is when entering a marriage, I think it is best that you be secure emotionally and mentally and emotionally before you say I do. And I'm so serious about this. I think people enter into marriage with family baggage, with issues, because they don't address those things before they walk to the altar. You know, family, the family dynamics, they don't address before the altar. I'm blessed to have a good, your family is a good family. My sister looked out at your family one day, and what did she say about them?
She says, you have a beautiful family.
You have a beautiful family, and your family loves to have fun. And what I like about your family is they love you. They love you. Poppy is their heart, and that is important. But there are families out there, Miles, what would you say about my family?
I love them like they were my own sisters. You know, my sister-in-laws, I adore, you know, all of them. Brother-in-law, he's like my brother. You know, your father was like my dad.
Right.
You know, I loved him. We loved each other.
You did.
I mean, your family's a big plus for me, you know.
Right.
Me and your mother, we worked on our relationship. It wasn't always good, but we valued each other enough to fix it.
Right, right.
You know, you can love a person and not get along with them.
Right.
And the two of you can love each other but not get along. So at some point you have to come to a conclusion that we don't get along, but it's worth working on because we love each other.
Right.
So we'll work on fixing it. As my sister said to me, I asked her, how did you and your husband stay together and go through all the things that you and him went through? And her answer to me, she says, because whatever happens, we know we have to work it out.
Wow. Wow. One thing about my mother, she never talked negatively about you. Even when you had gone, she never, you know, I was hoping, you know, I was mad and I was angry and I was talking about you like a dog. And guess what? She never talked about you like a dog to me. Never. Never. And I think it was because she knew that you were a genuine person, but you were a genuine person with your own personal issues. And because you discussed those issues with her, she just fell in love with Miles, and Miles could do nothing wrong. And so it is with your sisters. Your sisters never, ever approach me never. And your family loves me as if I was a part of their family. But there are families out here who are victims of toxic family relationships. And you have mothers involved with sons and fathers, especially the mothers who have only sons, or sons who are very important in the parent's life. The mother is going to have a problem with the woman that her son brings to the table. And when you're dealing with that, it can cause stress. And not only can it cause stress, but it can undermine the relationship. It is just, we're just blessed where we don't have that type of problem. Let me ask you a question, Miles. Is blood thicker than water? How loyal?
I don't know. I've had friends that were closer to me than my brothers. I had Bill I loved more than I did my brothers.
Right.
Because we had such a history together.
Right.
He was closer than a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you could, if you got a friend that a limitless, unconditional friend, you know, that it's just a few things you could write down on a piece of paper that he wouldn't do for you.
Right. Yeah. Now, with you and I.
And that's the kind of friend I had.
Yeah.
So that's what I was trying to explain to you about. That's what I guess you met.
In marriage.
I guess that wasn't an example that you were looking for.
No, that was good. Okay. But I mean, in marriage, is blood thicker than water? Is Vel and Tammy and Archie, those guys, Elaine, your aunt, Cannon, are they more important to you than me?
No. No, you're number one.
I'm number one. Mm. And they don't try to be.
No.
Oh, no, they don't try to be. And same with my family. Their blood is not thicker. Just because they're my blood, you are more important to me in my life than they are. And my family and I are thick as thieves. And they might even be mad that I'm saying this, but you are more important to me than Brother Lamont. Because we are what? One. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to tell family, I know you're close. I know you love me, but we're going to work this out. You know, I don't need mama to come in the middle of it. I don't need daddy to come in the middle of it. I don't need sister to come in the middle of our issues. You know, I used to, when you were gone, I would say to myself, does anybody care that he left? Vel, bless her little heart, would always call me. Always. To check on me, make sure I was doing okay. But it was like, everybody knew to stay out of it. And even my siblings, you know, they love you. They love you like you their other brother. You can't do no wrong in their eyesight. But the real deal is family loyalty goes out of the window when you marry your spouse.
Well, you know, you take a guy that's real close to his mother. I know fellas that were so close to their mother that it just wasn't normal. So you take a man like that that's had that kind of relationship with his mother, could be a negative in his marriage, possibly. Like some people we know.
Right.
And vice versa, a man that mother left him. I think maybe if you're looking for affection and attention, then you may have it to the extreme, like myself.
Right.
So that's a, if a woman was looking for a husband and she ran across a man that his mother left him, as I said in some of the other episodes, it may be difficult to deal with if she's the kind of woman that don't want to give a man a lot of time.
Right, right.
She's going to have some problems because a man that didn't have a relationship with his mama, you may be the first relationship that he's ever had with a woman.
Wow. Wow.
So he'll be looking for a package that you have, you won't even be familiar with what he's looking for.
Deep.
And that's who I was.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And it was unfair to demand that kind of
attention
from a human being. I was extreme.
Right.
I didn't even want a woman to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Where you going?
Right.
Because I had that leave me issues.
Right.
She's going to leave.
Right.
She's going.
Yeah.
Because my mother, if she come back and she, I wouldn't see her for a year.
Right.
And she would come back for 2 or 3 days.
That's trauma, Mom.
And left.
That's trauma.
And I knew when she left, she wasn't coming back.
That was traumatic.
And I said, where is she going this time? Why are you leaving, Mom? Where are you going?
Right.
And she would go, just leave.
Yeah.
And I adored her. I loved her more than I loved my own blood and heart.
Wow.
I loved her more than I could ever even explain or words could describe.
Wow.
I loved her so much. And she would just leave me.
Right.
Just leave. And I did not understand why someone that I love so much would take off.
Right. Right.
So I had a lot of damage.
That was damage. That was that trauma. And you broke that trauma in the marriage. And it put a lot of pressure on me.
Sure.
And that pressure, because I grew up in a single parent household where the mother was super strong. And, you know, I didn't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was, look, you know, I can't meet that need.
No.
So I thought, but you're right. It wasn't fair, but I learned, but I would advise young people, before understand, I remember, a gentleman that I was engaged to. And I noticed that this gentleman had I don't know why, but he didn't show up. In essence, he had a mental issue. We were friends. We loved each other. He was awesome. But this brother had mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. And so one day, he experienced the mental breakdown that he had, that he, you know, normally have. Because we were only dating for like 3 months. And then it showed up. And when it showed up, I didn't know what to do with it. And so I called his mother and I asked his mother, I said, I want you to be honest with me. There's mental issues running your family. She said, you are the first woman that has ever asked me that. And my son has had many women and you are the first who have ever asked me that after experiencing the mental illness. Most of them just keep on going as if nothing is wrong. And she said to me, we have mental illness in our family. Mm-hmm. And that's the day I said, I'm going to ease my hand out of his mouth. You know, I'm going to ease my hand. I'm going to step away because I don't want to be in a marriage with someone with mental health issues that were as visible as those. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was literally
severe.
I'm not talking about trauma, traumatic things. This was severe that you would not want. And the pressure of who I was caused him to go through it. I was on the board of directors of an organization, and we went to a dinner. They had a fundraiser, and we were sitting at the table with a lot of big professionals, and he didn't know which fork to pick up or what knife to use or what. It was very formal. And the stress of not knowing caused him to break. And throughout the relationship, which may have lasted an additional 2 months, every time a stressful situation came up, he handled it this certain way, the way that he did. And I said, I can't live with that. I can't do that. And so I walked away. And some people are so in love and so involved and so into these people before they learn about the people. And family trauma is very, very important. If I knew the seriousness, because Miles, some women would love the way you love. They would love to be home every night and their man saying, where are you going? Where are you? What time are you coming home? They love that. Some women love that. But you know what I found? I found that in reality, that is not what you wanted. You wanted a strong, powerful, dynamic woman. You, because when you had an opportunity to have that woman that would do what you wanted, when you wanted, go wherever you wanted, you really, really didn't want that woman. You wanted me. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. You covered a lot of area. If there was a way you could look up a person's intellect or mental capacity, like you do on a computer, if you could Google a person,
right,
and see who they really are.
Yeah,
90% of the marriages probably wouldn't happen.
Right, that's right.
You know, but there's a record out that said it takes time to know one.
Right,
it's not an overnight thing.
Yeah.
The only way you could know someone is to spend time.
That's right.
And in a lot of cases, when you get to the point where you've concluded that that's the wrong person, you went too far.
Right.
You say, well, you can't, you conclude that some people, I would assume some people might come to that conclusion after 10 years. Or 20 years.
Right.
And say, you know what? this wasn't supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I think that's because people don't want to change. You know, people
don't, they go on with the confusion.
Yeah, they go on with the confusion and they don't sit down and talk and resolve issues. You and I sat down and resolve issues. I remember when we would argue, rather than me put my hand on my hips and tell you what I wanted to tell you, said, let's do this when we argue, because we would take the argument too far. Mm-hmm. You would say, if you if in your soul, you know you're getting ready to break in this argument, you said, let's say stone. And if you really are about to go off, say rock or boulder or something, but we set boundaries. Mm-hmm. Those were our boundaries. If you say, Marilyn, rock, I know that you were super mad and I had to take it down, or he's a walk away. Mm-hmm. If I said, Miles, boulder, that means it's getting ready to be on and popping. I'm going to call every name. You going to call every name. I'm going to say things that I shouldn't say. And you're going to say things you don't want to say.
Well, doing what is correct. See, it was easy when I was drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it was easy to fix that. But I would just go get in my truck and go to the club and start margaritas.
Right.
But now that I'm living a Christian life, I have to fix it within the cage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't leave the cave.
That's right.
I have to fix what's in the cave.
Right.
You know.
Because we are no longer in our relationship alone. Mm-hmm. We are in our relationship with God.
Right.
And when we place God as the head of our relationship, then when we disagree in love. Mm-hmm. And we both hold to the scripture that says a man is right in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. And when two people argue, when you and I have a disagreement, you think you're right and I think I'm right, right?
And you can't fix it the way the world fix it. The world would say, I got some phone numbers.
Right.
You slam the door and you make a couple phone calls. You don't live like that no more.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, that's the way the world does things. The other woman and going over to your girlfriend's house and telling about how no good your wife is. That's what the world does.
Right.
You know. But you don't live like that no more. So you gotta fix it. You know, you can't let it go that far.
Right.
If you want to maintain your marriage or your relationship.
Yeah.
Your respect and your love for your mate. You gotta get through that, you know, and it might be something that you've never seen.
Right.
I mean, all your life you might have seen people slam doors and go over to girlfriend's house and leave the wife home.
That's right.
And stay out all night long.
Right.
And wife don't know where the husband is. And he comes home 3 days later and everything's just a mess and stays a mess all the time. Well, you can live like that, or you can come up with some methods of sanity and peace.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever forgiven your mother for leaving you? Have you ever just sat down and said, Mom, I forgive you. I know I did that with my dad. You know, my dad, I wrote my father a letter and told him about me being molested and and me being hurt and him leaving. And, you know, I wrote him a letter blaming him for everything. Mm-hmm. And when I approached him about it, I said, why did, after me writing that letter, why didn't you ever call me and talk to me about it? He said, because I didn't know how. And I realized then that my father didn't know better. And I forgave him. So my anger with my dad did not come into the marriage. If anything, I needed you to be that strong male that I didn't see in my dad. Mm-hmm. That I never felt in my dad. And the beauty of marriage is you become one. And those things that you value and those things that I value and those things that are important to you and those things that are important to me, we come in together and merge, and it becomes one. And then almost miraculously, mm-hmm. God heals and make us one. Let me tell you what happened today. I was sitting with Jackie and Renee outside with the children, and there was a yellow bike in the yard. And I said to Jackie them, boy, I hope Miles moved that bike. And before you know it, and you just moved the bike. Now, somebody said, well, maybe, you know, he just moved it. No, that was that oneness, that connection that we have, that oneness. And people don't understand that there is a miracle. Marriage is a mystery. And not only is marriage a mystery, but God in the scripture calls marriage the spirit of marriage. That means that marriage is really a spirit. And once we forgive our family, forgive the person who caused trauma to me. You caused trauma, but I forgive you. And that's God's expectation, for us to forgive those who caused us to have that toxic stuff in us.
I forgive her. I forgive her, but I'm angry that all of those years I was looking for something, pursuing something out of a woman that I should have gotten from her. Because if I and her would have had the right relationship, when I started dating women, I wouldn't have been so insecure. And for years and years, I was damaged. And I remember when I was 4 years old, I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember when her and my dad was taking me over to his mother's house, and they were going to leave. They were going to leave me. Mm-hmm. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And they took me to my father's mother's house, my grandmother's house. And they dropped me off, and they were leaving out, the two of them. And they left me there. And at that point, it was just like a strange house. And I screamed and I screamed and I screamed. And my grandmother took a belt and whipped me. And I messed on myself. I remember that was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they didn't come back for a long, long time.
Right.
So that was damage.
Right.
You know. And I'm looking out the window for them every night. I'm looking for her. And I had I had bad eyes.
Right.
And I was always holding on to my mother's skirt crossing the street.
Right.
Because I couldn't see where I was going.
Sure.
She was my eyes, and I didn't even know. I didn't even know what was going on.
Right.
I didn't even know why it was so devastating that she was gone, but she was my eyes.
Right.
I couldn't see.
Right. Right. I know. Right.
And she didn't know I couldn't see.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So all of this damage that was thrown on the women that I was dating.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
So you got the light end of the stick.
Right.
But the ones that were before you, they really got it.
Right.
You better be glad you didn't catch me.
Yes, Lord. Young. Hallelujah.
I had some damage.
Oh, listen,
I had some baggage that was hard.
Listen, I remember the baggage. I remember when I remember some of the baggage while we were married. You know, that you experienced with the woman that your mistress. I remember what she had to go through. But the difference between your mistress and me was God. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't going to happen over here. Mm-hmm. But you, not only that, but I believe that you knew in the recesses of your heart that I was the special. Mm-hmm. I was special. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. So listen, let me ask you you wanted to say something?
I just hope we didn't bore the audience with our past.
I don't think you bored
baggage them. And damage.
No, I think that people need to address it. They need to address their baggage.
I just wanted the women to know.
Yes.
That if you have a man that his mother was missing in his life, or she could have been in his life, but they didn't have the proper relationship that a mother is supposed to feel for a son, then I just wanted to warn the women that you got some work to do. And you could work it out, but it's going to take a lot of time, affection, a lot of women don't know how to mother a man.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because they might not have had a mother. They may be damaged.
Right. That's right. You know? That's right.
So a mother in the household is extremely important. If you have a son, mothers, especially single mothers, if you have a son that you are raising, then you have to prepare him for a wife. Mm-hmm. I think the mother, I could be wrong about this, but I think the mother prepares a man for a marriage more so than the father.
I agree.
I could be wrong.
I agree. But in that preparation, sometimes you find the mother not handling it well. The mother trying to run the marriage.
Mm.
You know?
I heard that.
And when that mother tries to run the marriage, there you have to kindly and politely and with love and with God, share with her that you and your husband are one flesh and she has to stay out of it. And you even have some men who will go to their mother for advice. and mamas don't like you messing with their boys.
Yeah.
You know, I know our mother didn't. My mother did not like anybody that was in Lamont's life. You had to be.
Well, you see how secure he is.
Say that again.
You see how secure he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And my other friend, Ed, my other friend, my best friend, said to me, and I see he's the only man I ever heard say that. He said, me and my mother do everything but make love. She says, she's just like my woman, but we just don't make love.
Mm-hmm.
that's the kind of relationship. And I used to be jealous of that kind of, that relationship that he had with his mama.
Yeah, they were tight.
Yeah. So, but I guess Candy, it was a negative for Candy because he didn't need the affection from his wife because he had it from his mama all his life.
Right.
So, so it wasn't an extreme necessity. It was a demand for me. But with him, he had such a good relationship with his mother, he could do without the affection of his wife or not.
And also, he had a good mother. He had a good mother because his mother valued the wife and even valued the wife's opinion. Yeah. He had a great mother.
Yeah.
So there should be boundaries. There should be boundaries.
Balance. Yeah, it's hard.
And so,
balance is rough.
Now, the final thing I want to talk about, and I think we've gone over, we really kind of strayed from where we wanted to go, but let me ask you something really quickly. What do you think the best way of breaking a generational curse or soul tie? A generational curse is that thing that goes from generation to generation. A soul tie is that thing that you just can't let go of. That it's in your soul, and it won't move. Some men and women have people they were in love with as soul ties. You know, you love your husband, but there's a man in your life that you loved so much, you can't get him out of your head.
Well, let him stay there. I mean,
what would you say?
My philosophy is,
I mean, philosophy or scripture?
No, not my. Here's where I'm at.
Okay.
And this may sound crazy to the audience, but my thing is, you don't really, really know how a person feels about you anyway. They can tell you they love you. Mm-hmm. They can do things for you like they love you. But to know, as an old man told me once, he says, two things you never know about a woman: what's on their mind, what's in their pocketbook. Mm-hmm. So I just say that to say that I don't think a person should be all tied up and overwhelmed trying to figure out how someone feels about you. I concentrate more so on how you make me feel. How you make me feel is much more important to me than how you feel about me.
Okay.
You make me feel so good.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That's important to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you feel anyway.
Right.
But I know how you make me feel.
Right.
And how you feel don't even really matter. Just as my father used to say, I know you're lying, but tell me again, it sounds so good.
Right. Sure. Sure. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
I don't know what's in your head.
Right.
But I know how you treat me.
Right.
And I like the way you treat me.
Right. And so.
And vice versa.
Sure. And vice versa. And so if you are going to break a generational curse or soul tie, in my opinion, I would suggest you denying yourself. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to deny ourselves. I want to feel good.
This record says you know how to make me.
You know, but you know what? If we're going to get rid of generational curses, we have to do things differently. Getting rid of soul ties, you got to do things differently. You really have to deny yourself. More than anything in marriage, You know, you were reading the scripture last night. You were reading to me last night about the body of the woman belongs to the man, and the man belongs to the woman. You remember when you read that in Corinthians? Mm-hmm. Was it Corinthians?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were reading that last night to me. And if that be the case, then I must deny what, and we have to do it together. We have to agree to deny ourselves of what, you know, I'm really a proponent of being born again. And it is so important that when you get married, it's almost like you're being born again. You're in another world. And so it is important that one deny themselves of their will and take care of the will of the spouse. You take care of me, I take care of you. This is not a 50-50. It's a what you got and what I have. You know? And being satisfied with loving you where you are and you loving me where I am. And not wanting me to be Joan Crawford, Hallmark, you know, but me being who I am and you being who you are. And both of us looking at what each other need instead of what I need and what I want. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think that will, when you deny yourself, you break that curse. Because you say this, what is that you say about resist? What you don't resist
has the right to remain.
What you don't resist has a right to remain. So if you don't deny yourself, and if you resist making yourself feel good, then that generational curse has to go. It has to go. That soul tie has to go, because it's no more what I want. It's what you want, Miles, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know? And so it is. And it can be a beautiful thing when family understand, we family have boundaries. We allow the family to come in and merge, but know how far. When we can take those things, negative things that we experience in the family, and make them positive, and take those negative things and not allow them to enter into our marriage. We, you know what? I am so proud of you. And I hope you're proud of me. Because we worked at this thing.
Yeah.
And when we give it to the people, we give it to the people raw. For real. And it can be great. Can it?
Yeah.
God, this thing could be great. You be more in love than you. I love you more now than I ever did.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about if you weren't here, you know, and I don't like it. I really don't want to live without you. I don't.
I think about the same way. We've gotten so we're one.
Yeah, we're one. Yeah.
And one half don't work without the other.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Not at all. And so how do you break a generational curse or soul tie? Deny yourself. Whatever is in you that is in that DNA, especially if you have Christ in your life. Boy, Jesus can do anything to the only wise God. You know, he can do anything. Just one word could change the trajectory of your life. Mm-hmm. Just one. When God says it. God says, that's enough. That's enough. Hebrews says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce asunder the soul, the marrow, or everything. The word of God get in and change things. But you just got to deny yourself. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else, Miles?
No, I'm done.
You're done? Do you love me still?
I love you.
I love you too. I thank you all for tuning in tonight, today. You all have been enjoying. If you'd like to ask us any questions, you can go to Till Death Do Us Part 1995@gmail.com. Thank you all for tuning in. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.